Welcome back to the High Functioning Disaster and to part two of my conversation with Hillary Momberger Powers. If you heard part one, you know that Hillary doesn't just tell a story, she invites you into her healing. We talked about what it means to stop leading with your wounds and start stabilizing from the inside out. In part two, we move into the art of reinvention, how she learned to do it scared, the trip that changed everything, and why the phrase "I get to" replaced "I have to." Hillary also shares how community, curiosity, and service became the antidotes to fear and ego. Let's get into it. You were talking about leading with your wounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of us do that. What does that mean exactly, leading with your wounds?
Mm-hmm.
And how did you first recognize it in your life?
Well, what it means by is if I got a lot of resentment and anger and hurt deep down inside that we think, oh, it'll go away. It'll go away. Well, the body keeps the score, meaning it's still there. So if I have that wound of I was talking about of not being enough and I'll never get anywhere, there's my, call that my elevator music. You know, when you get in an elevator, you're like, oh, it's playing that song again. It's everywhere. That's my underlining fear. I'm never getting anywhere. I'm not enough. Like, where am I going? There's no red carpet, honey. Like, so that underlining wound makes every single choice in my life. I almost call it like my Uber driver. Okay. My Uber driver is taking me to my biggest wound. Even though I say I want to go shopping, I want to go to Barney's, or I want to go to Neiman Marcus, it hears, I'm not enough. I'll never get anywhere. So I get inside my Uber and I say, I'm going to, you know, Neiman Marcus. It goes, sure you are. And the next thing, it's taken me to the local thrift store that's been out of business for 2 years and there's just crap in it. Because that's the voice that's driving me. That's my wound. Until I make peace with that very, very hurt feeling, wound, fear. Maybe my, you know, when my father killed himself, I've had a lot of stuff. My father killed himself. My mother died homeless downtown of alcoholism. And I had to let her go because it was killing me trying to fix her, help her. What can I do? I needed to take care of me. And then I can take care of the world. But see, I had it backwards. I thought if I took care of everything else, then I would feel okay. That would heal my wound. So I see these young girls that are in college and they're like, I got to get an education because then I'll be somebody. Well, you're never going to get there, sweetheart. Because if your original wound is, I'm white trash, or I'm from the wrong side of the block, or my color's wrong, or my education, my parents, that's the wound that's your Uber driver. He's going to take you to only the spots that that reflect that feeling, that thought, that energy. So until we get to that core, and sometimes it takes a friend or a guide. I encourage friends to do it together, or a therapist, or a group, or a church, or a relationship with God, whichever way. To go into that deep, deep part of you that's scary. It's like underneath the bed, the boogeyman's really not going to hurt you.
It is scary and it's hard work.
It's, you know what's really hard work? Not doing it and fooling yourself thinking it's going to be different this time. That guy's the great guy. He looks better. No, sweetheart, you've chosen the same guy over and over because you got the same wound. So once you heal that wound, your insides will reflect on the outside. So when I recognized that I wasn't a victim, I volunteered for everything, single thing that I had done. And once I took responsibility and said, wow, I'm the one choosing these people. Because we always say, it wasn't my fault. He called me. No, sweetheart, you picked up the phone. You responded to him. You reacted to his craziness. I didn't mean to go date. I didn't want to. We keep the victim excuse after excuse. But once we start saying, okay, if it's my life, 50% of every problem I have is who? Me. So maybe it is me. And once I get to that, admitting is one thing, but accepting is another.
Absolutely.
I can't accept anything or surrender to anything without a prayer. Because if I keep going to me, it's like, nope, 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 nope. You know, I pray to this power I don't always understand, but I know it's God and I'm not it. I go, can you help me? Please surrender this. Can you give me courage? And all of a sudden, there's the butterfly. And I'm like, oh, that wasn't that hard after all. And it's okay. If I can take responsibility for owning it, I can take responsibility for changing it. So
when we stop living from and making decisions from our wounds, the thing that changes really is that we accept our part and mm-hmm. what we've done to help us get where we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There's a power in that. There's a, like, I'm not tapping into my power. I'm tapping into a power other than me that's getting me to the next indicated step, which is usually something better from what I came from. It's like saying, I really want to get out of this sinkhole. Can you give me a hand? You're kicking yourself out, but something's pulling you up. And that's why I pray. I go to that, please help and pull me up. I know I got to do the work in kicking myself out, but can you give me a boost? And once I do that, I start realizing, wow, like I don't have to go back to that. Like I can make a different decision. I don't start big and say, I want $1 million. here I make nothing because I think I'm not enough and I'm trash and I'm not smart enough. But if I start saying, you know what? I'm making more than I did. I'm getting better and better every day in every way. I'm getting better and better. And I make up songs and I start encouraging myself, which is something I never got as a kid. It was either yelled at or and my mother was very generous with cussing. So I can be quite the truck driver too. Thanks, Mom. I own that one. It's not her fault. Thanks, Mom. She's clever. She was clever at it. But, I start thinking, well, maybe it's little steps. I think we talked about the all of a sudden is a lie. There's no such thing as all of a sudden. It's little by little by little by little. Then all of a sudden you realize all those little by little by little by little made today.
Yeah. There's really no such thing as like an overnight success, because what we think is an overnight success, we haven't seen all those little by little by little by littles.
Right. We haven't been a part of that. Right.
Right. And so, yeah. All these tiny little steps that we make each day, when we turn around and see them, we can see how far we've actually come.
Yeah.
And I think that can be a huge encouragement.
Oh, yeah. You realize you're not your wound. It's a lie, And I can move from being in survival and to having self-worth and having a freedom that comes with ownership. When you own something, there's freedom in owning it. When you own your own car, there's a freedom. When I own my own, mistakes, there's a freedom. It allows me to make different choices. But if I keep denying it, what do they say? What you resist persists. Like if I keep pretending it's not there, it's bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yep.
And then I have no hope. I have no, and then it weighs me down and I keep going down that cycle. So I keep repeating it over and over and over, you know, and I always say, you don't have to erase your past, you know, you can just slowly but surely make friends with it. And that's how you can let it go. Because if you're not going to be friends with it, it's going to keep throwing rocks at your window. Are you, hello, hello, fine, come in. And all of a sudden, it's like your life can shift.
So when you were talking about the trauma triangle or trauma pyramid, mm-hmm. the caretaking, self-reliance, and defiance.
Yeah.
You mentioned some ways that that showed up in your life when you were younger. Do you still see that showing up today, or do you feel like your wound is just scar now and you can lead from that and, I don't know, for lack of better terminology, be more productive with it instead of destructive?
Right. Well, it's not as black and white as it sounds, because there's my getting into the gray zone. Like, I find myself when I get tired, you know, there's little things that might, I would say the ego rebuilds itself in the day you're in. When you're not talking to a power greater than you and start talking to your power, all of a sudden I'm like, I got this. Yeah, everything's good, you know. And then I start slipping back into an old character. And once I do that, I feel uncomfortable. And I have a choice. I get to make choices because I took responsibility. Remember, I made a decision. I'm going to take responsibility. Well, that old saying, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Remember, those are my stabilizing things. You know, the halt, the old fashioned halt. Remember when you're a kid, it's like, just relax, take a nap, slow down. No running in the house, get a glass of water, no candy, no. That's a stabilizing thing. And when I get whacked out, it's almost like I go back into the reptilian, like I'm ready for Freddy. I get angry. I get charged. You know, I have little things like when I get on the highway, if I'm anxious and I want to drive a million miles, I know I need to pause. I don't need to stop the car. I just have to take a breath. I got to stabilize myself because my trauma will, it's always going to be there. It's a scar. It's always going to be there. I was fractured. I wasn't broken. Broken is a really harsh word. Broken means, oops, if you break a table, no matter what you do, if you glue it back, it's never the same. When you have a fracture, it heals and it goes back to a healthy state. You know, it's not all off balanced. So I've got to heal. I've got to go and stabilize myself. So I'm no longer leading with my wound. I'm centered on my scar. My scar is resilient. You know, it's tougher. It's like the fascia's tighter. There's a scar there. It's like strong. And I started instead of feeling shame about where I came from, all of a sudden, I was like, good for you, Hillary, man. I've come a long way. And then I start building some esteem on it, going, I'm really proud of myself. Like, wow, you did good today. Like, wow, you got that job today. I'm so proud of you. Wow, I showed up on time. I start building my esteem back. And so now I start building more on, that's the triangle. Like I said, it's stabilized safety. Sense of belonging, I have my self-esteem, I become productive, and then I can give love away. I can't give it away until I take care of my inside, so my outside. Then I can go to my outside. But we live in a world where it's get the car, get the this, the everything, and then you'll feel better. My funnel's on backwards. You know, I got to turn that stuff around, and I can't do it by myself. I have to say, God, please help me. I don't know what I'm doing. Can you help me? God, please send me some nice people. Or, you know, little stuff like that. Then I, all of a sudden, this the belonging. I'm like, hey, we think we're aligned. We think the same way. Like, Sasha, you and I, we're like, wow, cool. We're on the same page. That's awesome. I like that. All of a sudden, really I feel, cool. that ease and comfort, which I want the world to fix. And it's not the world's job. That's about growing up and being a grown up. You know, when I want to stay a little kid, and I'm going to have little kid results. I may be tired and cranky and never have enough and have wet diapers and, you know, she laughs, but you know, I mean, so it's like, you know, I it's my responsibility.
Yes.
It's everybody's responsibility, but nobody wants to take responsibility. It's so confusing. But there's
it is
power in saying, I'm going to take care of myself. Not I got this, because that's like telling somebody to go away. I know, I got this. That's closed mind. Open mind says, I'm going to just show up. I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to take a little risk. I'm going to ask for help. I'm going to take a nap. Like, those are some powerful little teeny, little by little by little. And then all of a sudden you go, wow, I got the job because I rested, because I ate well, because I studied, I prepared. Like, all these things are incredible. Just the little teeny, little by little by little.
Yes. And it is so powerful. Mm. So we're going to shift gears just a little bit.
Okay.
You said that reinvention is a calling rather than a midlife crisis.
Oh, heck yeah.
What does reinvention mean to you now?
Oh, reinvention. What does it mean to me now? Okay. So someone had said to me when I was in my 20s and I had this mentor, and she said, Tony, you got to figure out what you're going to do when you grow up. And I was like, oh my God. And another, what do I do now? Oh my God. And I remember, like it was yesterday, I said, I feel like I have this hope chest and it's filled with all these gifts that God gave me. And that while I'm here on this paradigm, this movie, I don't even know if it's real at this point, but while I'm here, I get to, not have to, I get to go into my treasure chest. My hope chest gives me hope. And I get to pick out, oh my gosh, I can be this today. Not changing every 5 minutes, but go for allowing myself to feel different and to have a new experience. Like when I went to school to be I went and got my masseuse license in my 20s. Because I was beat so much as a child, I thought I need to have a new experience at the hand. So I became a masseuse, and I realized that either these hands can be hurtful or helpful. So I gave myself another experience to reinvent myself. And then that paid for me to go to art school. And then when I got to art school, I did artwork on the side, and it paid for me to go to UCLA. And then I started working on movies, and then I started acting again. So it's like everything, I allow myself to keep changing forms because I got all these things in my hope chest. So there's so many wonderful, everybody's got so many wonderful things. When we're little kids, we say, I'm a policeman. I'm a cowboy. I'm a cowgirl. I'm a cook. I'm a baker. And we'd make up all these things. And then we throw them into our hope chest and we ignored them. Then we said, oh, I went to college. I'm an accountant. Not that it's a bad thing, but then that's all we thought we could ever be. What happened to that hope chest? I hope to be a fireman. I hope to be an EMT. I hope to be a nurse. I always hoped to be something, but I put it away. So the reinventing is really just finding out there's more in my hope chest and I can keep doing it. And I'm in my 60s. I'm not done. I'll know when I'm done. When I'm out of here, God says next, my number is called, I'll be out of here. But in the meantime, I can be and think and feel. And if it makes me feel good and I'm not hurting anybody, go for it.
Yeah. One thing you said is, I get to, not I have to. And I think that's such a powerful mindset shift, mm-hmm. because I have to makes it required.
Oh, it's exhausting. Oh, it makes my heart hurt. I had to make my bed in the morning. Oh, God.
But I get to is a positive spin. And at the same time, it's not a toxic positive. It's I get to, as in, you know, like everybody has times when they have to go to work and they have to work because they don't want to be homeless and they want to have food to eat and such. But if you look at it from that perspective, I get to go to work.
It changes everything.
It absolutely does. So that is such a powerful thing. And I appreciate that you said that.
I here's some little tricks. I used to do things that when I would go to work, I would, you know, you always want that job. It's your dream come true. And then 6 months in, you're like, oh God, I hate my boss. I started doing things like today is the best day ever. I started talking myself into having a great day. I certainly know how to talk myself out of one. All I have to do is focus on everything I hate and I have the worst day ever. What if I flip my funnel? Today's the best day ever. Oh my God, I'm so lucky. I have my desk at the window. How lucky am I? Like I start pulling out all these wonderful things in my hope chest. Like, oh, and I got this and I got this. And the more I focus on the good, the more good I get. What you think about? You bring about.
Absolutely.
And if I think, oh, I have to go to work, everything I look at is going to come from this. Oh, here it goes. I have to go home to my husband and I have to be nice to my husband. I have to make him dinner. How about you get to, you know, there's somebody dying for your husband right now or your wife right now. What if you said, I get to make him dinner. I get to learn how to cook differently. You know, I get to help my mom. Gosh, I'm so lucky I have a mom. You know, little stuff like that, it makes me go, oh, wow. There's the power in not being a victim.
Yes. And just for clarity, I don't know that you actually said I get to help my mom because of me and my situation, but it is absolutely something that fits here because you and I have talked about my mom and the caretaking that I have done for her a lot in the last year. But the nearly last year and a half have been so brutal. Mm. And that is so true. It's such a good shift for my mindset of like, I have a mom because I have friends who don't have a mom. Yeah. And to think of, you know, at least I have a mom. There's that. And in the moment when things are so tough, it's really difficult to have that mindset of, oh, at least I have a mom. But, you know, if you take that step back and take a breath, the pause that you mentioned, okay, is it the worst thing? No, it isn't. And then, you know, kind of regulate your emotions. It's so helpful.
Yeah.
And at least I have a mom and I get to help her in this season that she cannot do for herself. Is it frustrating? Sure, sometimes it can be, but gosh, all kinds of things are frustrating, right?
How wonderful that you can say, wow, I'm a really good daughter. Shit, I never thought I'd be such a good daughter. Man, I can put up with some crap. Oh my God, I can do things differently and I can laugh at myself. Like all of a sudden you start finding the good in everything because you made that one decision to make that negative a positive. It's so easy, you guys. It's so easy. We miss it because we think we have. I always say that I'm a Cadillac. And when I got on this, you know, I have the car analogy, you got the Uber, but I'm a Cadillac, right? I think have I talked about this with you before?
I don't think so.
Okay, so
I'm interested though.
I'm a Cadillac, right? I realize that I need when I hit bottom, which most of us do, and we just go, I can't do this. I got to go to therapy. I'm going to do something. I'm going to kill myself. I hate my life. I hate my husband. I will, what, on and on and on. Right. So I come in, my Cadillac's got a busted out headlights. The windows are all smashed in. The upholstery's all screwed up. I've got no gas. I might, no oil in it. You know, I've got cobwebs. The tires are busted. I am going to, one day at a time, take one task. And once I start doing one thing and I say, I'm going to clean up the upholstery, I get excited. I want to do more. So then I start cleaning up. I put gas in the car and then I put oil in the car and I fix the windows and the tires. I keep getting it better because I'm a Cadillac. I'm never going to be a Porsche. There's the acceptance. Mm-hmm. There's the taking responsibility. There is no longer a victim. There is no longer leading from my womb because I keep thinking, when I get over there, I'm going to be a Porsche. No, baby. You're going to be the hottest Cadillac. You might even paint it red. I don't care. But every day I get to make a decision. Today's the best day ever. That's me cleaning the inside. The next day, I think, thank you, God, so much for this job. That's me fixing the window. Thank you for this great, thank you for giving me a mom. Boy, is she funny. Boy, I'm going to laugh at this when she's gone. There's you getting the tires fixed. You are going to be the most incredible Cadillac. You're never going to be a Porsche. And unfortunately, we got a lot of Cadillacs running around there that all think that when they make the money, they get the guy, they get the house, they get the car, they get the kids, they get, they're going to be a Porsche. They're not going to be a Porsche. They're still a Cadillac. And Cadillacs are good.
Yep. They're definitely more robust and made for the long haul, not a Porsche. They're more comfortable to ride in.
Or never screw your back up.
Right.
So that's my car version. I think I said that to a guy one time and it stuck. You know, but that's the great thing about making your life exciting. Like, I don't know what's going to happen to the other things. I do things like, I don't know what's going to happen today, but I guess it's Christmas. Let's see. I don't know. The more I say I don't know, the more amazed I am with what a life I have. Because when I go into with this beeline, I want it like this. It's got to be like this. If it doesn't, I'm disappointed. And then I go back to beating myself up. I'm not enough. I'm not enough. I screwed up and must, I didn't figure it out. But if I go into it like, you know, I have an idea what I'd like to have, but let's see. I'm wondered. I live in wonder. I'm like that little kid who's so excited to go to the playground. They don't know what they're going to do, but they know they're going to have fun.
Childlike wonder. That is really important to hold on to.
Not childish, childlike.
Yes.
All God wants us to be is child. He just wants to come to him like a child going, I don't know, God, what are you going to do today? I'm excited. Thanks for mom. Boy, she's a pain in the butt. She's awesome, right?
Yeah. That's a wrap on part two of my conversation with Hillary Momberger Powers. And I love how she frames reinvention as a choice, not a crisis. Her reminder that you're never going to have enough of anything until you decide to move anyway hit me hard. Whether it's travel, creativity, a simple saying, or simply saying yes to yourself, action is the bridge between fear and freedom. Next time in part three, Hillary and I talk about reparenting, what it actually looks like to soothe your younger self, speak kindly to the parts that still ache, and rebuild trust from the inside out. It's tender, honest, and incredibly practical. You don't want to miss it. See you next time. Oh, and one last thing. The content shared on the High Functioning Disaster is for informational and conversational purposes only and is not intended as professional, medical, or mental health advice. Everyone's situation is unique, and what we talk about here may not apply to your specific circumstances. Please do what's right for you and always consult with a qualified professional for medical, mental health, financial, or legal guidance. You take care of you, boo. See you next time.